tonight, Proverbs chapter number 4. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Let's look at verse number 23 together. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And then verse number 24 says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Here we find in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, a very familiar passage of Scripture, verse number 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach a message entitled that, "Keep thy heart." Our Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the truth of your word. God, I thank you for how you spoke to my heart through this passage of Scripture, Lord. And God, I pray that you would please help tonight as I try to preach the message that you've laid on my heart for this time. And Lord, I pray that the message wouldn't fall on deaf ears, but God, that it would lodge deep in our heart. And God, that we would, God, benefit from the truths from your word. God, I pray that, God, you'd help us to tune in tonight and just listen to the simple truths that you have for us from your word. And God, we'll be sure to take the time necessary to thank you and praise you for all that you'll do. Now, Lord, I yield myself to you, and I ask that you would please use me. And Lord, I pray that you would preach through me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. For the last year, really started in January and on till now, I have lived in the book of Proverbs. We started in the teen class at the beginning of January, a series that I've been writing on my own and just really through personal study called Pillar Principles from the Book of Proverbs. And the whole theme of that series is to take the chapter that we are currently on and just look at the overwhelming theme. And some chapters have an overwhelming theme, some do not. But to take the overwhelming theme of each chapter and to preach or teach to the teenagers along those lines. And to be honest with you, it's been a very beneficial study for myself. It's been a busy year, and it's been a year that I've needed the wisdom from the Lord. It's been a year that I needed extra wisdom, if I will. I've told the teenagers, we know that wisdom is in the gray head, but it's also gray hair is not a prerequisite for wisdom. We all can have wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. And so God is a generous giver of wisdom if we'll simply do our part and ask him for it. And so I've tried to encourage your teenagers, and I have tried to practice it as well, to pray for wisdom, to beg God for his wisdom, because to be honest with you, in and of myself, I'll make a whole lot of stupid mistakes. And you will too, without the help from above that we so desperately need. And to be honest with you, the thought from this message came from that series where we were in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. And if you study verse chapter 1 and chapter 2 and 3, both start with the first two words in chapter 2 and chapter 3 is Solomon saying, "My son." My son. If you were to look at chapter 1, there's the introductional words, but then it's a whole chapter on him teaching his son. Solomon was trying to capture the heart of his son, and he was trying to teach him, trying to gain his heart so that he could instill some truths that he needed to know along life's way. And as we come to chapter number 4, we find that he doesn't address my son, but in verse number 1, he says, "Hear ye children. Hear ye children." And so it's almost like Solomon is just grabbing everybody that is his child, everyone, and he is going to teach them some things. And so Proverbs chapter number 4 is full of things. Solomon was trying to get his children to understand, to not just hear his words, but to heed his warnings as well. And to be honest with you, church, week in and week out, as I stand behind this pulpit and preach, as the Lord has laid on my heart to preach the Word of God, it's not just me doing it for my health, okay? It's for the sole purpose for you to not just hear the words coming out of my mouth, but to heed the warnings that are being portrayed from the Scripture. And so Solomon, he goes to his son, he goes to his children, and he pours his heart out to him. And in verse number 23, he tells him, "Son, keep thy heart." It's a very important phrase right there, to keep thy heart with all diligence. And then he tells him why. For out of it are the issues of life. I want to show you a couple of things by way of introduction, and then we'll get into the meat of the message. First of all, notice the importance of learning. The importance of learning. In verse number 1, again, the Bible says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. Then thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Solomon begins the chapter, as we've already said, in chapter 2 and chapter 3 with my son. But here in chapter 4, he says, "Hear, ye children." I picture that. It's as if he is on the front porch in a rocking chair, and he calls all of his children and says, "Listen, I've got something you need to know." And he tells them the importance of learning. It's almost as if he stresses to them and says, "Listen, you need to learn wisdom. You need to learn instruction and understanding, because it is for your benefit, children." He says that I give you good doctrine. Listen, we as parents have our best interests for our children. We know that. We wouldn't dare tear them something that would hinder or hurt them. And we try to protect them and try to instruct them. And we give them good doctrine. We give them good teaching. We give them truth, if you will. And can I say the same is true in every area of life, whether you are a child looking to your parents, or if you are a church member looking to your pastor, the preacher, or the Word of God. God is inviting you to understand the importance of learning in your life. That he has nothing but good that he wants for your life. He wants you to have wisdom. He wants you to have understanding. He wants you to have these things in your life. But many times I feel as if we don't trust him that he's given us good information. We don't look at it and say, "Well, I don't know if that's necessarily for my good." Sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth cuts you deep, and it cuts you to the core, and it causes you to make a decision. And we must then address it of whether we're going to listen or not. Listen, we all ought to be very, we all ought to be ever learning and never to the point that we feel like we've arrived. Someone that feels as if they have it all figured out and that they don't necessarily need any help or need any instruction from a Sunday school class or from a pulpit. Whether the preacher, listen, I'm younger than half of y'all in here, but I'm still a preacher of the Word of God, and I ought to be able to preach the Word of God to you. And so if you come to the place that I can't help you, then you're in a dangerous place, church member. Listen, we all ought to come to the place that we are ever learning. And just as I should be able to teach you some things about the Word of God, you should be able to teach me some things as well. Listen, I've said it often, all men are my teachers, and I promise you I have not arrived, and I don't have all of the answers, but I promise you I have a book that tells me the answers. And I'm willing to search it out and try to help you if you'll let me. And so Solomon tells his son, he tells his children, the importance of learning. Listen, it is of utmost importance that you don't feel like you have it all figured out, because children, you don't. And we're all trying to figure this thing out. And he teaches him, he says, "Son, you ought to learn some things. You ought to get wisdom. It's the principal thing, and therefore get it, and with all of thy getting, get understanding." I believe he taught him to learn to have character in his life. He taught his children to learn to have compassion and learn to have some concern for others and learn to have some basic conduct in their life. And he was teaching his children probably to learn to appreciate correction and all of the above. He probably was telling his children, get wisdom, get understanding, and it will benefit you. There is importance in learning. We all ought to come to the place that I do not know everything, and I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to apply the truths that I hear from the Word of God in my life. There is importance of learning. But then He also teaches them in this passage of Scripture, as he's sitting on the front porch, if you will, he teaches them about the intersections of life. There's the importance of learning, but then there's the intersections of life. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter, notice it, not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they call some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." And so an intersection, it's a place where two or more things meet, and then a decision has to be made. And Solomon continues on and addresses not only the importance of learning, but then he addresses the intersections of life. And he tells his children, you're going to have two possible outcomes, two possible intersections. You're going to have to make a decision whether you're going to follow the path of the wicked or whether you'll follow the path of the just. Look at verse 14 again. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Listen, he tells him in verse number 11, he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And so just as parents, we teach our children to walk in the right paths. Every single one of us that have been here for any amount of time, we know what is truth. We know what is right. We know what is wrong. We know the wicked way and we know the right way. But yet we all come to intersections of life to where we have to make a decision, a conscious decision individually. Will I go the way of the Lord or will I go the other way? Every single one of us have to come to those decisions. And when Solomon tells his children, he says, listen, I'm not always going to be around you. I'm not always going to be with you. You're not always going to have my instruction and my wisdom. And so, son, children, you're going to have to learn to make the right choice. He says, when you come to the intersections of life and you're made with the choice to follow the path of the wicked or to follow the path of the just, he says in verse 15, talking about the path of the wicked, he says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. Now boy, those are strong words. And what he's saying is, don't even think about walking down the path of the wicked. It's almost as if you're coming across some road construction and you've got the flashing red lights that roads closed, danger ahead, go the other direction, go this way or go that way. And if you are deceived and you think that you know more than the construction men, and then you just push those things out of the way and you go down that road anyway and you fall into danger before you know it. You see, Solomon is telling his son, he's telling his children, there are intersections of life. And can I say, church, every single day we are faced with choices of whether we'll please God or else we'll please our flesh. Whether we'll please God and draw closer to Him or else we'll pull towards the world and the things of the devil. Every single day we have those intersections of life, whether we'll walk down the path of the just or if we'll walk the path of the wicked. Those are intersections of life. And to be honest with you, if I could stand with you at every decision, every intersection that you come with, boy, I would hope to be that shining light and say, go the path of the just, go the path of the just. But I can't be everywhere. Teenagers and children, your mom and dad can't be everywhere. That's where we all have to be, at a place to where we say we want to follow God and not the path of the wicked. You see, those intersections of life, Solomon teaches his son, listen, this is preaching as old as it gets, that there is a right way to live. There is a wrong way to live. And it comes down to individual decisions. Which path are we going to walk? We know from the Word of God what paths that we should ask for. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. As Solomon continues his conversation with his children, he tells them about the importance of learning. He tells them about the intersections of life, but then he gives them something that is so helpful. Notice the inspection that is listed. Look at verse number 20, if you would. The Bible says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Notice the inspection here, the checklist, if you will. He says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And Solomon takes his children, and he explains that not only are you going to come to intersections, but every single day there is an inspection. There is a checklist that we ought to do as children of God to make sure that we please our Heavenly Father and to make sure that we walk the path of the just. Notice the inspection, the list here. First of all, he says that we are to secure our heart. In verse 23, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." In verse number 24, he says that we ought to shut our mouth. Amen to that. He says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse from me." I said, gossip is still a sin. It is. Backbiting, babbling, busybodies, how many words you want. It's all sin. And it's on God's hate list. Sowing discord among brethren. That's what that type of talk does. And God says, "I hate it. It's an abomination. You do it, you're in direct judgment. I'm coming after you." It's whatever. That's Jonathan's interpretation. But he says to shut your mouth. Well, that's good instruction from a daddy to his children, ain't it? Be a good instruction for mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa and pastor and anyone else that falls in this line, children of God, to learn to shut our mouth. Amen. Secure our heart, shut our mouth. But in verse number 25, we're to set our eyes. He says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee." We're to study our steps in verse number 26, "Ponder the path of thy feet." You see, if you'll think twice before you make a wrong move, what is the old saying, measure twice, cut once? That's pretty good. Be good for our steps as well. Before we make a decision that could impact our family for wrong, you might want to ponder that step and see what it looks like 10 years down the road. Ponder our steps, study our steps. But then in verse 27, he says that we should stay away from evil. He says, "Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Solomon instructed his children to inspect their lives, to examine themselves. And can I say, church, we too should live by this checklist. We should examine our own selves. We should ask the Lord to search our heart. And we should ask the Lord to help us in our daily life to follow this checklist. And if we do, we find ourselves on the path of the just. A prayer that ought to be prayed often in your prayer life is, "Lord, guard my mind that I wouldn't think of anything that is not pleasing to you. Lord, guard my eyes and my mouth and my ears and my heart and my hands and my feet. Don't let me do anything that would not please you, Lord." It ought to be a prayer that we pray every single day. And so Solomon gives this instruction. He tells his son the importance of learning. He tells them about the intersections of life, and then he gives this inspection that is listed. But I really want to hone in on verse number 23, where he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I want to look at this, "keep thy heart," and give you three simple things. First of all, notice this about your heart. Understand its issues. Understand its issues. Again, keep thy heart without diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I believe what Solomon is telling us here is that all issues of life will flow from your heart. He's not talking about your physical thumper here, but he's talking about your inner being. He's talking about your disposition of mind. He's talking about your emotions, your mind, your soul. And he says to keep thy heart. That word keep, it's a defensive term. We find it in the Bible all throughout the Word of God, but a familiar place we find it is in the Garden of Eden, where God told Adam, I want you to dress and to keep the garden. What is that keeping? It is a protecting, a defensive, that I'm going to protect this from evil. And the same thing is all Solomon is applying to his children. He says, keep thy heart. Why? Because out of your heart, out of your inner being, out of your emotions, and your mind and your very soul comes all of the issues of life. And we know life has issues, don't we? He says to guard it. He says to keep it from evil. He says the reason we are to guard it and to protect it, because all of these issues will stem from our heart. Can I say that's why we preach so heavily on guarding our heart regarding relationships? That's why we preach so heavily on protecting your heart from the influences you allow in your life. It's so vitally important that we, that you as children and teenagers protect your heart and secure your heart. But can I say, Mom and Dad, that's good for us as well. You are or soon shall be who you spend time around. And if you spend time around a gossip, or you spend time around a discorder, is that a word? If you spend time around someone that is always walking the path of the wicked, you too soon shall follow. And we should guard our heart. Why? Because out of it come all of the issues of life. And I say, young person, when you give your heart away, you can never give that part back. That part is always taken away. And Solomon is pleading with his children to keep your heart. To protect it, to guard it. Can I say it's very important that we learn that as well. Our heart has issues. Out of the heart flow all of the issues of life. And so we need to understand its issues, but number two, we need to understand its infrastructure. The Bible says in verse number 24 and verse number 26, it says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. You see, the word infrastructure is simply a big word that means to the makeup of something. When we hear that word, many times it's in reference to roads and buildings and bridges, and the question must be asked, what makes up our heart? Oh, we're supposed to keep it, but how? The Word of God has the answer for this, and I thank the Lord for that. Solomon speaks to his children. He tells them that out of it come all of the issues of life, and he tells his children very specifically to keep it with all diligence. And so how do we do that? I believe the answer is found in verse 24, 25, and 26. First of all, we are to put away a froward mouth and perverse lips. Can I say our mouth is the cause for most of our problems? Amen. When we say something out of our mouth, it cannot be taken back. It's forever out there. And can I say that goes for your thumbs too? It's forever out there. Oh, you may be able to delete it, but it's out there. And so Solomon's telling his children, put away all of that nonsense. Listen, our mouth can be used for so much good, but many times we're guilty of only using it for evil. You've heard the phrase before, God gave you two ears and one mouth, and the reason for that is we ought to listen twice as much as we speak. And I say amen to that. Solomon tells his children to put away a froward mouth, purvey perverse lips, but he also tells him, number two, where to put in place eyes that know where to look and where not to look. We're talking about the infrastructure of our heart. What causes all of the issues that stem out of our heart? When we allow our mouth to get carried away, when we allow our eyes to get carried away, your heart will have issues. The prophet Jeremiah says, mine eye affecteth my heart. Well, that's a good statement when it comes to missions conference and missions trips, and we can say, boy, my eye really affected my heart. But the application is true for everything when it comes to our eye gate. What we see lives inside of our mind. Listen, our eyes are like tiny cameras. Listen, Apple or Samsung, they don't have anything on our eyes They're like tiny little crystal clear cameras that take images every single day, and our mind is like a supercomputer that it stores it forever. And that stuff affects your heart. That's why it's so important that we put perimeters on our mind. And there are times that we can't prevent from seeing something inappropriate, but friend, we can always prevent from looking at something inappropriate. There's a difference between seeing it really quick and looking. And we ought to put that away from us. Solomon tells his son, he says, let thine eyes look right on. He's telling him to focus on what you need to focus on and don't get carried away by all of the distractions that will be there. Listen, that's why it's so important that we are not stumbling blocks for our fellow brother and sister in Christ. But we ought to know what it means to dress modestly, to sit modestly, to conduct ourselves ever mindful of our appearance, both for ladies and for men. Listen, men, you ought to not get caught up in dirty talk and dirty appearance and in vulgar conversations. All of that is wicked before God. We ought to put our eyes, put in place our eyes that where they know where to look and where not to look. But also he says we are to ponder our steps. Here I believe Solomon is teaching his children the importance of pondering his steps is to think before you act. And I say there are some places and there are some scenarios a child of God has no business being in if they're going to keep their heart with all diligence. You should ever be aware of your surroundings. Mom and Daddy, you better always be aware of your children's surroundings in person and on the web. You better be ever mindful of what's going on. And listen, I promise you, they're smarter than you. I promise you they're smarter than you when it comes to that junk. A couple of things that just always ought to be old hat to us. You should never be alone with the opposite sex. I mean, just basic principles. You go to my office, everything in there is in its place for a purpose. I've got a window there on purpose. My chairs are where they are on purpose. Any one of you can slide by anytime and see who's sitting in those chairs. My computer is faced so that you can always see what Jonathan Robertson is looking at. I want to be above reproach. There's a window over here on purpose. Walk by my office. I want to be blameless. Amen. And we all ought to live like that. We ought to live our life on purpose. We ought to ponder our steps on purpose. And listen, let me just clear something real quick. Ladies, if you text me, I promise you I'll get back to you, but I want my wife to see it first. Amen. That's just basic. Listen, that's for your benefit, but so it is, it's for mine as well. We should never be alone with the opposite sex. We should stay away from the presence of evil. Listen, you don't have to fellowship with those that are drinking. You don't have to be around those that are doing drugs. You don't have to hang around those that are smoking. I mean, the list could go on and on. Just get yourself out of those scenarios because you are or soon shall be who you hang around. You should stay away from conversations that are filled with things that do not please the Lord. Vulgar, dirty talk, and just inappropriate jokes. We ought to ponder our steps. Why? Because our heart, it affects our heart. It affects the infrastructure of our heart. It's made up of those things. And Solomon is telling his son, if you'll watch your eyes, if you'll watch your mouth, and if you'll ponder your steps, your issues that flow from your heart will be very minimal. Because our heart has issues. So we understand its issues. We understand its infrastructure. Let me give you the last thing. Understand its intention. The Bible says in verse number 26, it says, ponder the path of thy step and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The heart is guided by one thing, and that thing is you. It will only do what you allow. If you say yes, it says yes. If you say no, it says no. And you know what our world tells us? Follow your heart. You better not. Because the Bible says it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that junk creeps into churches all the time where people that know better say, well, they're just following their heart. No, that's wrong. Amen. It's desperately wicked. We ought to not follow our heart. We ought to ponder our steps according to the Word of God. Listen, it's really that simple. It's up to you. The choice is yours. If we fail to keep it with all diligence, then we will find ourselves walking the path of the wicked. We finish this chapter here in verse number 26. The Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. And then I love how he ends the last phrase, remove thy foot from evil. It's like Solomon just sums it all up with his children on the front porch. And he says, it's really that simple. If you avoid evil like the plague, your heart will stay right. It'll stay right with me as your father. It'll stay right with God the Father. It'll stay right if you'll learn to avoid evil. Church, we must recognize what evil is. We must not be afraid to call sin, sin. We must run toward good, and we must keep our heart. I don't know where the message finds you tonight, but Solomon tells his children, keep heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I don't know what intersection of life maybe you've come to right now. You're standing at the crossroads and you got to make some decisions. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You better protect it. You better guard it. Parents, you better help your teens with this. They don't know. They don't know.